Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Oleg Voskresensky, teaching Christianity in his native Russia.
I provide the historic foundations of Christian faith. What happened 2,000 years ago? And how do we know it happened? And how do we know that our sources are good, reliable, so we can go back to that history and present it as a reality?
Oleg Voskresensky, next. Former Soviet citizen Dr. Oleg Voskresensky is using his faith and education to reach out to Russia. He was raised in Moscow and today travels to Russia on behalf of Faith Search International Russian Ministry to teach Christianity and to evangelize. Coming up, his inspiring story. Dr. Voskresensky, you grew up in Moscow during the years of the Cold War. What was that like?
I have to admit that it was not a Cold War. I would never call my childhood years and even growing up the years of the Cold War. Living in Moscow, we felt fairly safe, definitely not in the middle of any kind of war. Mm-hmm. Most of the country was not as well doing just as well economically, and as I was fortunate to be born in Moscow and raised in Moscow, going to school and university. At the same time, yes, as a teenager, I started to ask difficult questions to my parents, and asking about my grandparents, whom I knew. That one was a Bolshevik, a communist, and the other one was killed by the Bolsheviks and communists. And how is that? How was that possible? Not receiving direct and honest questions on the fate of my grandfather, one of my grandfathers, my father's father, who was a priest, and he was killed as one of many thousands of clergy in the 30s in Stalin's purge of the church and Christianity in the Soviet Union. And not receiving questions, that was probably the tension that I felt, and that started my search for answers in political system, answers in the spiritual world, and in the history of my country.
What kind of effect, or did it have much of an effect on you as you grew up, knowing that one of your grandfathers was an Orthodox priest, and that he was actually killed?
My parents did everything possible for me not to have that inferiority complex of being from the lineage of the enemy of the people. That was the label that those killed by Stalin carried, and. They try to kind of smooth my childhood as much as possible by not answering my questions, just kind of putting it off. Wait until you grow up, and then you will find the answers. That was most of the times the answer to my quest for truth, for the spiritual foundation of my life.
So just the fact that your parents were quiet, or they just said, kind of deflected it or deferred those discussions of God or of faith till later, does that say then there was a present fear of persecution?
Yes, definitely. It was not as maybe life-threatening, but it would definitely ruin my career. It would definitely not allow me to continue my education, to the higher education, and would probably make my everyday life much harder. as I was growing up in the communist country, in the schools, public schools, and in the environment that was very, very hostile to any even talk of faith and God.
So at what point in your life, as I understand it, you were still fairly young, you were still in school, did you hear about the possibility of God existing and even being personal?
That's quite a story, and it's actually a person. Of course, it was a very personal testimony of my school teacher, my Russian literature school teacher, who started talking about God in the classroom when we were studying Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and Pushkin and other classical Russian writers. And it was a shocking, truly shocking experience for me when I started to realize that it is a person. It is God is a person, that God is alive. God is a reality, not just a fairy tale, not just a mythical figure from Greek mythology, but in the lives of Dostoevsky's novels, he's present. He's talking. He's listening. He's responding, and that was a true revelation for me, a shocking revelation. But I was already, what, maybe 15, 16 at that time.
And then later, as I understand it, you discovered that your father attended church and took communion. He traveled widely. How did you learn of that, and how did you respond to that when you found that out?
Oh, there was a suspicion, and actually in the family, why is our father leaving every Saturday for a little dacha, a little cabin that was a family cabin outside of Moscow, like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours away from Moscow, every Saturday regularly? And he will be absent until Sunday afternoon. And he would also say something about, taking care of the garden or other things. But the regularity and something in the very emotional, his presence on those days, I think I started to realize that he was actually going to church that was right next to the cabin, just a couple of miles away. And but he had to travel outside of Moscow because he, in fear of being recognized by somebody or church in Moscow, and that would completely destroy his career.
And your father was a military person.
Oh, no. He was a civil engineer and built a lot of highways all over Russia and actually abroad. He built the highway from the Soviet Union border to Kabul in Afghanistan, and then some roads in Yemen.
Well, my guest today on His People is Dr. Oleg Voskresensky, and he he's a teacher, he's an evangelist and missionary with Faith Search International Russian Ministry, and we're finding out about his fascinating upbringing in Russia, in the Soviet Union, a number of years ago, and how he came to hear about God and his family dynamics and some of that. Well, how did a Bible first come into your hands, Dr. Voskresensky? How did you first encounter and read the Bible?
My first Bible was actually a collection of quotations, Bible quotes from atheistic literature, which was available, and that's the only way to for a Soviet Union citizen, just a common person, to find out about the content of the Bible. I made that collection, and I tried to make sense of all those verses and how they connect and what the story is. And then at the age of 22, my son, my older son, was about to be born. I went to, again, 250 kilometers south of Moscow to a small village where nobody knew me. And I approached a priest after the service and asked him for for a prayer. He prayed for me, and he gave me my first Bible. And under the strict condition, which I'm breaking right now, uh-huh. the promise that I gave to him to never tell anybody where where that Bible came from, because he was afraid of me to be a provocateur, a KGB agent, actually. And I was afraid of him being reporting on me. So, but it worked. It worked very beautifully. We promised to each other to never share that story, the promise I'm breaking right now.
Well, at least you're not saying his name or where exactly this took place.
I will never say that.
Well, tell us too. And again, I'm relying upon a very extensive piece in World Magazine as I ask you these questions about your background. But tell us about the influence of your future wife, Oksana, when you met her in the 1980s. She had quite an influence on you in terms of Christianity, right?
I would say a decisive influence. Yes. Until then, I was, I think I was a believer in God, kind of theoretically and philosophically. She was the one who showed me God incarnate. I don't know, the beauty. She's the most beautiful person on earth. She is, and she was a Christian. She was living her faith like on every day in her appearance, in her life, in her words, in her habits. So I was following her everywhere. And, well, you know, when you date somebody, you follow a person everywhere. And she was going to church. And so I went to church with her, and there that was again providentially for me, a linguist. It was as my first training, university training. The barrier for me with the Russian Orthodox Church was that the worship is all in Old Slavonic, 14th, 16th century language that nobody understands. And I knew that nobody understands it because I studied it as a foreign language in my university classroom. And I couldn't believe that people are going to church to hear what? To just listen to this beautiful, absolutely beautiful music. And this is the way you live as a Christian. This is what Christianity means. That was not really attractive to me. I saw a lot of hypocrisy and other problems with that. And she was going to the only church at that point, the only church in the Russian Orthodox Church all over the world that had worship service in Russian. Not in Church Slavonic, but in Russian that I could understand, I could appreciate, I could ask questions, I could follow, and that was also, something that changed my whole perception of what faith is, and it is not all just beautiful emotions that people experience in the church, but there is a theology and there is a teaching and a moral authority in the church. And there's something to study, something to know, something to discuss, to agree, to disagree. And that was extremely, extremely attractive for me at that time, at that point.
So was it at that point, Dr. Voskresensky, that you came to believe in, put your faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes. In the sense that I trusted, I started to trust, not just believe in the existence of God, but to trust Him in my everyday life, in my decisions. I started small. I don't remember who told me that first, that you don't have to dive into faith try something significant, mm-hmm. important, and give it to God. And I started, to be honest, I started with finances. I started with tithing and just giving back to God what belongs to Him, and it worked. I still think there was one of the things that was on the one hand, it was significant, important, and yet it was not like everything. Money is not everything in my life, but God blessed me with. We were not starving. I started to make a little more money, and we were not prospering, but we were doing fine. Although I knew that I'm missing 1/10 of my income now, and I'm doing actually better. I feel better, and I am really in reality again. It became a reality of my life. I can live by faith and putting trust in God. And then other things followed, and little by little, I committed all my life to God.
And you began, as I understand it, you began to read Christian books, authors, listen to speakers, particularly those from Russia.
Both Russian and C.S. Lewis was on my list, of course. His writings were translated into Russian. And also, yes, Russian theologians, Russian preachers, Russian-speaking, I mean, and some of them translated from other languages, yes.
My guest today on His People is Dr. Oleg Voskresensky. He is a teacher, an evangelist, and a missionary with Faith Search International Russian Ministry. We're hearing about his upbringing in Russia and how he came to believe in Christ. And how did God then begin to lead you toward Christian ministry, Christian work?
I went to the seminary. I needed to know more. I am a kind of academic kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I needed to know more. I needed to know what other people in centuries and generations already learned from their experience with God, with the Bible texts and the church history. So I started on the seminary track as a MD, finished in 96. And at that point, I was still a young Christian with that missionary itch. I wanted to share my faith. I still do. At that point, I started to look for ways to apply my prior pedagogical skills and education as a teacher, and combined with my theology knowledge and experience, and inspired by this newly found faith. And I served refugees here in the Twin Cities, the Russian-speaking refugee community for a number of years. And then Faith Search, the ministry I'm with right now, invited me to translate the book of its founder, Dr. Don Byerly, a biologist, PhD in biology, who came to God by studying the evidence for Christ's life in history and archaeology. And that was exactly my material. So I translated his book into Russian. It was published. And then they said, we've got a message. Now we need a messenger to take this material to Russia. And I started traveling there. Regularly, 5 times a year, every 6 weeks, I go to Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and other Russian-speaking parts of the world for 3 weeks. And I teach once on the ground. I teach every day sometimes twice or three times a day, different audiences. I teach the class on the historic foundations of Christian faith. Again, the applied apologetics, how we sometimes call it here in the office. That's what we do.
And just going back a little bit to after seminary, you went to Bethel Seminary in Minneapolis, and that was where...
In St. Paul, yes.
In St. Paul. That's where you first encountered evangelical Christianity, if you will, Bible-centered Christianity, and yet you continued to worship at an Eastern Orthodox church, and I'm wondering, how did you make that decision, or how did God lead you to do that?
Well, it is more, I say... It is emotional as well as historic and theological. It is my mother church. This is the church that I realize, especially the Russian Orthodox Church in its current state, is very ill. It's inherited that illness. Only three generations living under the Soviet rule, but you don't leave your mother when she is ill. You take care of her. You help her to get better. You do more for her.
Yeah.
Not just leave for a better house or better arrangements. In going back to Russia, that's where I belong culturally, where I belong by my language and my upbringing. I worship there in the fullest, I guess, with all the all I have.
So, Dr. Voskresensky, so you've gotten invitations to teach, to instruct school teachers from across Russia in the introduction to Christian culture curriculum. You've even had invitations from Russia's Ministry of Education, and at the same time, you're also an evangelist. So you're kind of moving in two spheres, in the educational sphere and in the sphere of missionary.
Yes. And it started very humbly, 16 years ago when I first went to Russia with this material of, again, biblical archaeology, New Testament, manuscript evidence. And I started teaching in Bible colleges and seminaries, in churches, conferences, clergy and lay members in church in general. And then something happened. And that is even beyond my... beyond my hopes or even imagination, that in 2011 or 2010, the Ministry of Education, the Federal Ministry of Education in Russia, passed a law that every school in Russia, every elementary school in Russia, has to have a class in religious culture, they called it. And I was invited to write a curriculum, to take part in writing that curriculum and in writing a textbook, and then a workbook for students, and then manual for teachers on the Christian culture, they call it. But it's basically introduction to the Christian faith. And since then, I am a book author, textbook author. I am traveling and invited by schools, by teachers' conferences, teachers' training centers, I guess. And I present my book, and I usually start with all the methodology and pedagogy and how to apply these methods in your classroom, and then naturally we talk about the material of what are we exactly teaching, and what reality stands behind those cultural things that we discuss in the classroom. And then, of course, my teachers have to usually admit that they don't know much about Christianity and what what those realities are, and that's where I put my other hat on as an evangelist or a missionary. I do not make altar calls. I would probably not be invited next time if I do.
Yeah.
But I provide the historic foundations of Christian faith. What happened 2,000 years ago, and how do we know it happened? And how do we know that our sources are good, reliable, so we can go back to that history and present it as a reality of human history, of human life, not just, again, mythology or fairy tales. That enables the teachers then to present their material in their classrooms in a more professional, in a more substantial and complete form. And that's what the Lord is doing in, I would say, in teachers' educational community all over the country of Russia through our small ministry. And we are a very small in ministry, but we have a pretty significant footprint in the Russian teaching communities, because I've been doing it for now 15 years almost, and thousands of teachers went to my seminars, and now they are using this knowledge, this material in their classrooms. I receive their feedback and know that it is significant. It is important in their the way they teach.
Well, Dr. Oleg Voskresensky, my guest today. Well, Dr. Voskresensky, of course, people will hear when they hear you're traveling to Russia and you're doing all of this. Of course, they think of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and all of that that's going on over there. Has that slowed down or hampered your travels and your ministry?
I hope it will not. I am leaving on my next teaching trip to Russia, to the far east of Russia. It's 11 time zones across, so I will be quite away from on the very far east of Russia, on the Pacific coast of Russia this time. And I will be teaching something that already happened 2,000 years ago, so there's it will not be immediate effect, immediately affected by the current events in the country. And I'm invited by, again, both secular and church communities. I'm teaching history, and I'm teaching ancient history, so that should, I hope, will continue with all the, of course, you have to be extra careful of how you say things, of what you say to, and people are sometimes provocative in their questioning. I think I've learned to be careful and attentive to what they want to say or what they want to hear.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Dr. Oleg Voskresensky, a Russian language evangelist and trainer with Faith Search International Russian Ministry. Go to faithsearch.org. He requests prayer for his ministry, for the receptivity of the Russian people, and for his family when he's traveling. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Thomas Kidd helping us understand so-called Christian nationalism and how it contrasts with Christian patriotism.
It has become almost a fad among scholars, among historians, sociologists, and so forth, of saying that people are Christian nationalists, but that makes it pretty slippery when the people they're calling that don't actually identify as Christian nationalists.
That's tomorrow at this same time right here on His People.